All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, we're going to continue with the objections and the ones that keep on going. They never really end, and they never will. So they're an
Everyone
ongoing
has an
topic.
objection.
Yep.
Oh, and if you have not been with us before, every Tuesday in our practices, we do what we call Toolbox Tuesday for our huddles with our team, where we pick one tool out of the hundreds of resources that we have in our toolkit and focus on that one resource, making sure that everyone is on the same page and calibrating our message. Sometimes it can be difficult to remember all of the tools that we have. So today we're continuing in our series on our first 400 onboarding program. And the objections that you will have from new team members and from your existing team members.
Yeah, they're, like I said, there's a lot of them, and the same ones seem to kind of come up over and over and over again, at least the same flavor of them. And not to say there's not new ones. We've heard new ones, and some of them are kind of comical. But the ones that keep coming up seem to be the ones that people really rely on. It's human nature. People are just trying to kind of, make sure that everything's as easy as possible on them. But they're always trying to get out of things here and there and see what they can get away with.
Well, and part of why we're talking about this is because, with a first 400 program, with implementing a program like this, that we've done with our practices and with our private clients, we can all get in the mode of thinking that it's a set it and forget it, and that you launch this out to the team and that there's never going to be another issue with it. And just like we continue to discuss with patients, if you're prepared for the objections that will come up and you can have scripting around it, it empowers your team with those tools that they need to respond to those situations when they come up. And one of the first ones that comes up for us with new team members is, I'm overwhelmed with all of the new material. We've talked about in this recruiting market, in this job market, we have had to come up with this program. It has become a necessity for us to be able to hire people who don't have dental experience. And we talked about that a few Toolbox Tuesdays ago, where we were handcuffed with needing people with dental experience. And that significantly limits your pool of candidates. So if you can develop a program like this to confidently hire someone without dental experience, it really gives you many more opportunities. But with that, you also have to realize that someone is coming in to a brand new career. And one of the things that I always tell applicants when I'm interviewing them is, it is wonderful that we live in a world where you can do anything you want to do and be anything you want to be. That doesn't mean you wake up and you're a unicorn. It's going to take work. And that's the case, whether it's with us or you go to any other industry. Even if you have experience, a new job is stressful and you're going to get a couple weeks into it and think, my gosh, what have I done? And panic. And that doesn't mean that you just throw the baby out with the bathwater and bail. If we can address those topics head on, and like I said, I tell people I can just about plot it out to the day. It's usually about day 18 that they are decomposing, and it's usually about day 21 that our existing team members hate them all the same too, which we'll talk about shortly here. But it is overwhelming, and we also don't have unrealistic expectations. I'm not expecting a brand new dental assistant to be able to independently assist through every single procedure by day 4. That's not what the goal is. We're looking for progress over perfection.
Yeah, and it's stressful enough to go into a new job in the same industry or the same thing that you've been doing for a number of years, and let alone a brand new industry, a brand new topic, something that a lot of people have no background at all in the medical or dental field at all when they kind of go into, and being a dental assistant is usually the first step. And it's stressful. And then let alone having a program like ours, which is a much better alternative than learning on the job, trial by fire, essentially, and then really not finding out if you're got what it takes for a year or so sometimes. But having all these assets and having all these videos and having all these trainings and these people around you kind of, trying to get you on board and make you a contributing part of the team quickly is exciting and great support, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of stress. It's a ton of, and there's a little bit of a lot of accountability that at least we see with our team. And they need someone who's really going to participate and really going to contribute. It's not just watch the videos and kind of see how it is and if I'm just going to get this through osmosis. We need you contributing tomorrow, right?
Right. Well, and this isn't the right fit for some people, but that again, it's just like with patients, that isn't going to be the majority. You know, if you have someone who is going to pass out in the op at the sight of a drop of blood, assisting may not be for them. But I also tell people this is also not Grey's Anatomy, right? If you have that much blood going on, you're not doing your job suctioning as an assistant. Something else is going on. But I will hit the nail on the head with them of, okay, what are the things that brought you to us? Right. People are looking for another position because they're unhappy with something, whether it was income, opportunity to grow. Training has been a huge component of it. And honestly, I've taken a lot of the feedback I've had from interviews over the years to incorporate into our first 400 program, hearing from people in all different industries what was lacking in training programs that they've had before so that we can fill in the gaps there. And so many people have said they started a position and it was you're thrown into the deep end right off the bat. You're either going to make it, fake it till you make it, or you're not. And it's all on you to determine your success. That also puts the employer, I'm sorry, but this is a little bit of a scapegoat scarcity mentality. It automatically puts the employer that we're just victims to whoever comes through the door. Like, no, we are both actively participating in this. And if you're telling me that with all of these resources that there's no path for you to forge ahead, I'm going to call that out.
Yeah, and I think that timeline goes really in step with how long people are staying in jobs these days. And I think the last I heard is that, I mean, it's even shorter than 2 years from what I remember at the last thrust
1.8, yes.
1.8 years, which is not very much time at all. And when you kind of look at that, it really gets back to training because that is the time that a lot of people can fake it till they make it.
Right.
And whether it either happens on the employee side or the employer side, whether they're just realizing that this person isn't the right fit, or an employee is realizing this office isn't the right fit, or the team is not the right fit, or if they just have not put in the time to make that career something that's really permanent for them, or really, really has a lot of longevity and being a part of the team, being contributing, about a year and a half or so is kind of that time when people start to figure that out. From both sides, right? And that really kind of makes sense. And people start getting the wandering eyes, seeing, the grass is always greener on the other side. But you see these resumes and it's 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, and they're just jumping. And it's kind of that time when they either get sick of something. And usually when people get sick of something, it's because they have not put the time in to make the job something that it can be more for them. Or the employer has not done the same thing, right? And I think it definitely, it's probably 50-50 in my, opinion, and kind of what we see.
And on that note, we have objections from existing team members all the time, right? We've talked about we have our team members involved in the hiring and firing process for all of our team members. We've been in the cycle where Sten and I have done the hiring 100%, and it always circles back to us. Like I said, I can peg it to just about day 21. They're going to come and tell me that they hate the new person. It's all rainbows and butterflies the first week, and everyone is on their best behavior, and we all love each other. They're going to hate them, that it's just going to happen. But they hate them a little bit less when they were the ones who picked that person,
Right.
right? There are times that there's a bad egg that comes in the mix. That's going to happen to all of us. You can have someone who interviews extremely well, presents very well. I had a team member that comes to mind a couple of years ago. This was kind of right in the throes of COVID. She only was with us for 10 days, just to put into perspective for everyone. She only worked 4 out of those 10 days, and right out of the gate, presented very well, interviewed very well, had a great personality that she presented. I think it was day two. I mean, it must have been day two or three when she only worked 4 days out of the 10. Had COVID. You can't fire me because I have COVID.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to fire you because you had COVID, but that's a red flag. That's the first thing that comes out of the gate. Then she had a childcare issue. I'm going to file a discrimination claim. You can't fire me because I have children. I'm not trying to fire you because you have children, but there's going to be those people that are trying to work the system. That again is the small percentage. That's not the majority of the people who are walking through the door. So first and foremost, the thing that we hear over and over again, I don't have time to train anybody. You get in that rock between the rock and the hard place situation where, hey, we need more help, we need more team members, but then we don't have time to train new team members. And we have to consistently remind our existing team members, number one, we are growing, so we will always be training someone, right? Life happens, people move on. We've had multiple assistants. We have one right now who's planning on going on to dental school. It's not even just that people change jobs and careers, they might be moving on to the next step. We will always be training someone. We are giving people the opportunity to grow in a career, just like all of our existing team members have the opportunity and someone trained them. And we have this program in place for that reason. And it's not meant to be, yes, we do breakouts with people and there might be a little bit of one-on-one focus time, but the purpose of this program is to allow our team members to train a new team member as they are doing their jobs throughout the course of the day. It's not a stop, I'm doing this for 4 hours. It's training as you go.
Yeah, it's we're constantly training in our office, and I mean, I don't think there's that 3 month period goes by where there's not at least someone coming in at some point, and whether that's a replacement or whether that's most of the time it's an addition and or someone moved on, like Jennifer said, we have three or four former employees in dental school right now, and so I mean it's all good things, but people move. People we live next to a military base, and one of our practices is next to a military base. Fantastic team members that we've had coming out of the base constantly. Some of them are still with us, some of them are still remote, and but they move along, and then there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing they can do about it. And so sometimes that 2 year period or that 1.8 period doesn't really give us an option. We can complain about it all we want, oh,
It's
there's this,
reality.
it's the reality, this is just where we are. And so it doesn't make any, it almost doesn't make sense to even look at why that's happening, because it's just going to happen. And the most we can do is just expect it to happen and kind of build these systems around knowing that that's going to happen at some point. And then that's, if you're really waiting for on the job training or trial by fire and kind of in that situational training, yeah, by the time someone gets to a year and a half, 1.8 years, whatever it is, you're finally going to get someone that's kind of, in stride with you, and they might leave, right? And so we're goals, we didn't have that option. We need to get someone in stride with the rest of the team immediately. And that really, it takes a little bit of work, but the systems, we have to rely on the systems. It's not reliant on individual people or a group of people. It's relying on a system. They know how to manage the system, and it's the only thing. Yes, the we're talking about how the material is overwhelming. There's a lot of it. But it works. It's been working for 10 years plus for us, and it's really, really, it's something that we can't get away from because of this shifting around that we see with our team members.
The biggest one, this one is definitely a hot take. We have this conversation frequently in the practices, is they just don't get it. They don't get it. They're not smart enough. They're not going to be the right fit. They're not it. I do not say this to be demeaning to anyone by any stretch of the imagination, but we are not asking our team members, whether it's front office team members or back office team members, to be doctors. We're not expecting them to have a doctorate education before they come in the door. Our program is meant for people who don't understand their mesial from their distal, right? That we're starting at ground zero. They can learn it. Okay? We're not asking them to do something that's impossible. This is not rocket science here. And if you guys have been with us any amount of time, you've heard me say this before. I'm a baker, so everything comes back to baking and food. I always say, what cookies are we baking, right? There is a recipe for what we do on a daily basis. Yes, the patient might be a little bit different, that specific tooth, that specific situation, but are we baking sugar cookies, peanut butter, chocolate chip? What do we have? The setups are the same every single time. When I have team members who are saying they just don't get it, then I start asking more questions, because usually that is a deflection in someone's own inadequacy with teaching and training. Right. If we're really honest with ourselves, have we given it the best shot? We talk about this constantly. It will not work out with every single person that we hire. If that's the expectation, we're setting ourselves up for failure. If it doesn't work out with that person, I want to know when we go to bed at night and we're really honest with ourselves, not lying to anybody anymore. We did everything that we could on our side of things to make that work. We gave every opportunity that we could to make that work. So I start asking questions that, okay, have you asked that person to do XYZ and they're telling you flat out no? That no, they're not going to do that. Have you asked them to say it back to me? This is something that we use with training. We have our doctors use this in their exams with the assistant. Say it back to me to make sure that they are understanding what it is that you are trying to explain to them. that also gives you an idea of where there is a breakdown if there is a lack of understanding. Have you asked them to say it back to you? Have you had them demonstrate a setup for you so that you understand where it's breaking down? We've talked about before, it just drives me bananas when people are checking in. How is everybody doing? I'm good. Good is a feeling. Can you do that procedure independently without having to run out of an op 5 times? Then we're good.
Yeah, and I think what we've noticed, and I have no research or anything, but just kind of anecdotally over the years, the people or the team members or doctors, which is the kind of the biggest culprits in this a lot of times, is the more special circumstances and the more outlier situations that someone is concerned with, the slower they are to kind of get it. And I think what we really see is the people that don't really see the outlier situations, don't see special circumstances as really happening, and really try to fit those special circumstances or those outlier situations, quote unquote, into the training, and realizing that those really are just versions of each one of these situations that we're already training on, and just going back to the systems and the techniques and the protocols and the verbiage and the sound bites, the scripting, was what we call them, sound offs, and in those things, and realizing that there really aren't hardly any special circumstances, right? I mean, barring an emergency in a dental office, which is scripted and had the protocol and has a crash cart and training around it as well, but there really aren't special circumstances, and it's you really, the people who are worried about those special circumstances or outlier situations, it clogs up their thinking, and they're not worried about, they're worried about those things instead of just getting the 99.9% of the situations down pat, right?
Which can also be a deflection. And again, our team members, they're not bad people, but you have to realize they're still people, right? I mean, doctors are people, we're people. We all have tendencies of where we're going to automatically go in our minds. And they all hope that we have a unicorn who comes in and has it on day two so that they don't have to explain it anymore. That also is not reality. And also nicely, humbly, but I remind our existing team members too, they also are not perfect. They're not going through their day and everything is a 10 out of 10 all of the time. We all have strengths and weaknesses. We all have things that we're continuing to work on. And again, if someone is truly just a disaster and they're going to be injuring people, we're not going to keep them in the practice, but we need to be honest with ourselves. And this is just the beginning of the objection conversation, because as you can imagine, you have the most objections from your existing team members. So next time we pick up on this, we're going to talk about the lazy comment. People just don't want to work and they are lazy. None of us have ever had that be an objection or a thought that has crossed our mind ever, right? So come back for that. We'll continue on that conversation next time. But in the meantime, if there are any objections that you've heard in your practices you want to see us incorporate and ask, we'll continue to keep this list going. You can connect with us through our email, connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com, or our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com if you want to hear about our private client options or implementing a program like this in your practices. We are also on all of the social platforms, so feel free to reach out.
All right. Have a great day. Bye.
Sounds good. We'll see you guys next week.